Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, Jess here. Just jumping in at the start of this episode to remind you that our live stream episodes, our live shows, start this weekend on Saturday, the 11th of April at 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. The episodes are going to be available for at least 24 hours after we've recorded them. So if it's a really weird time for you where you are, you'll be able to watch them at your convenience. But yeah, you'll be able to tune in live and see us do a live episode for you from the comfort of your own home. You can be in your PJs. You can be completely naked. And that's absolutely fine, which is not the case at our usual live shows. So it's, you know, a bit of a novelty. You can head over to sospresents.com for tickets. There'll also be a link in the episode description of this podcast. But for now, on with the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki, and as always, I'm sitting here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Jess. Oh, my God. I almost forgot your names. You only just said them moments before.
You glance at your palm, Jess. Which one's that?
I've got them tattooed on, them being Jess and Dave.
We've been doing this show for a long time.
No.
We're Facebook friends.
It doesn't get much closer than that.
I mean, and we're your only Facebook friends. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. You should get more Facebook friends.
Well, I keep sitting there waiting to be poked, and it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened.
Matt, sometimes you've got to be proactive. You've got to do the poking.
Sometimes you've got to be the poker, not the pokey.
Yeah. Mm. Get out
there. Wish I could be a pokey.
Get out there. Have a poke.
All right. I'm going to go have a poke tonight.
I feel weird about what I said. How are we doing? We good?
I think we're good. I think we are sitting exactly 1.5 metres apart at this stage.
Yes. Very important.
Legal requirement. Now, as we were setting up the gear, Matt did say 1.5 metres. Thanks. I had to take a couple of steps back. I'm so sorry. Sorry that I encroached on your territory like that.
Well, you can encroach as long as you don't end COVID.
Well, I was moving in for, I was moving in for a poke.
Did that bad joke give you a heart attack?
It hurt.
You are clutching your chest.
Inside. That hurt me more than it hurt you. And I know it hurt you a lot having to hear it. And feign enjoyment. Not very convincingly, but still.
He's broken already. It's great. Hey, what is this show?
Look, I don't know. I'm going to ask the guy that just made that great joke. Matt, what is this show about?
What is this show?
Well, you've come to the right place because I know this back to front. I've been on every episode of it, actually.
Checking his other palm.
Unlike you two, who sort of float in and out at your leisure, I'm here week in, week out.
Sorry, we've only done about, 230 episodes each? I'm sorry that we're not up to your standards.
Well, this is 233 for me, and as in all the other 232 episodes, the way it works is one of the three of us, you know, if in attendance, will do a report on a topic after researching, sometimes for a week, sometimes for 2 weeks, sometimes for a day and a bit, like probably today's reporter, Jess, who's reported on a topic soon, and it's going to be about a topic. And to get us onto that topic, Jess asked a question right now, and the question is...
Who was the first woman to win a Daytime Emmy Award in the category of Outstanding Game Show Host?
Ooh, Adriana Exenides.
Tanya Zayeta.
She didn't host. Was she the host?
Well, best sidekick.
Yeah, she was a sidekick at best.
Yeah. Oh, this is weird. It's a real sausage fest, the game show host.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking Baby John Burgess.
Yep.
Is it someone we would know?
It is definitely someone you would know.
Betty White just came to my mind.
Yes!
What? Serious? She's just been around so long, I just thought she's probably done it.
It's Betty White.
Betty White? What was it? Was Golden Girls a game show?
In a lot of ways. Mm. Isn't everything a bit of a game? Isn't life a game, Matt?
Blanche played the game. The game of fucking everybody all the time. Love to fuck.
Yeah, Blanche loves to fuck. Spoiler alert.
Is that Betty?
No.
Oh,
but it could have been.
Really? She could have been?
Yes.
No, Betty White was the sort of the more naive type character, whereas Blanche Dubois... Mm. He loved to fuck.
Right, is that her catchphrase?
Yeah. That was her whole character, really.
She had a southern accent, Matt.
She was great. She was Samantha before there was a Samantha.
Yeah, but do it in a southern accent.
I loved to fuck.
I mean, it is similar. Wait,
can you give me some? Give me what's something that someone says in southern accent, and I'll go from there.
Well, I'm a southerner, and I love to fuck.
Okay. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I wanted you to say it in a southern accent so I could basically give me a key.
I'm a southerner and I love to fuck.
I mean, now I don't even need to do it. You just did it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you couldn't top it, to be honest.
No, I couldn't top that.
Well done, Dave.
That was perfect. Some people would be confused.
Or offended.
Yeah.
Probably offended.
I've got the vipers. Southern Bale.
This is Southern Bale who came here to fuck.
Came here to fuck.
Well, there has a bit of fuck around these here parts.
She's pointing to herself.
Yeah, she's pointing at her. She's like, these here parts. Yeah.
Honestly, it's a Betty White. I don't know where that came from. I didn't know she'd hosted a game show. I just figured she's been around for so many centuries.
She's been around for a very, very long time. She's had a career that has spanned 8 decades.
Whoa. Well, I mean, Golden Girls was from...
Was it 80s?
80s, and she was playing an old woman in that.
She was...
In the 80s.
She was in her 60s then.
She was already playing a grandma in the 80s.
And there was... I feel like I've said this recently to someone, but her... one of the characters, Dorothy, who was like the Carrie.
Yes.
I've seen it. I saw Sex and the City, the film.
Can you maybe translate it to someone who hasn't seen either of the shows? Make a third translation.
What do you mean?
Oh, okay.
Which cast member of Diagnosis Murder is she?
Mm. Oh, well, so which member of the Dick Van Dyke family? Well, I can put it in Ninja Turtles for you, if you like, or the OC. What would work best for you?
I love the Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, okay. So the Blanche / the Samantha is the Michelangelo.
Right.
And the party girl.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Then you got Dorothy or Carrie is the Leonardo, the leader of the pack.
Right. It's amazing how well this aligns.
Then you've got, who are the other two golden girls? You've got the mum. So I guess that's
Sophia.
Not gonna work. Sophia. So
is she cool but rude?
She is actually
cool but rude.
She's the sassy Raphael.
They gave her all the racy lines because they thought it was funny coming from a very old woman who was actually younger than the woman playing her daughter.
Is that the Miranda? Because Raphael wears the red bandana.
No.
She's got red hair.
Oh, yeah, she would be Miranda, yes. Yep.
And then the last one is the final one.
Yeah, no one ever cares.
Now let me put all of them into the Beatles. Okay, so
I will talk obviously about the Golden Girls, but that's probably the reason why I chose this topic. I have actually put Betty White up for voting before. I can't remember the general theme, but the patrons, she always sort of came in second, patrons choosing something else. Right. And then just last week we were talking about how I'd been watching the Golden Girls because we're in isolation and I was watching so much Lost, which is very tense, and nothing good ever happens in that show. It's like every episode another thing tries to kill them.
Okay, the show you need to watch is called Gilligan's Island.
Yes.
Same thing, but it's fun.
Yes, okay, I need
it's
to
Golden
watch that.
Girls. So say Golden Girls and Lost fucked.
Okay.
Yeah, baby, would be Gilligan's Island.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense.
And the rest.
But I put on...
The rest is seen.
And the rest.
None of that made sense.
I put on Golden Girls just to, you know, something light. Something a bit of fun. And then I thought, what's Betty White's deal? And now here we are.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, 8 decades, I don't know too much about her.
Yeah, and I think we generally know, like probably a lot of people listening, we would know just the stuff that she's done in like the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Did she have a recurring character on Boston Legal?
Yes.
So that's one example.
That's one example. I think she was on Diagnosis Murder one time.
That would not surprise.
Wow.
She's been on pretty much everything. It's insane. But, I mean, let's start at the beginning, why don't we?
I love it.
That feels like a logical place to begin.
Oh, so when do you reckon she was born? 1800s?
Oh, that's a good question. If we would have guessed the year.
Okay.
I'm going to guess 1932.
Dave?
I'm going to say slightly older, 1929.
Betty Marion White was born in Oak Park, Illinois on January 17, 1922.
What? that's my grandparents' age and they're dead.
She's 98 years old.
What?
She is 98 years old.
No,
that does make sense. I just said she was old in the 80s, so that does add up. And you actually said she was 60 then.
Yeah.
Geez, there are a lot of clues that we didn't pick up on. 98. She does not seem it in my memory.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her this week or anything, but...
You haven't checked in?
No, I haven't.
You haven't had a Zoom chat with her?
You should Zoom her.
She doesn't know how to Zoom.
I reckon she might. Reckon.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool.
And everyone knows Zooming is cool.
Yeah.
I love business meetings. Does she also excel?
Of course she excels.
Oh, in most facets of her life.
Yeah, and I sort of thought, you know how when you look into the early life of someone or you on face level or like you sort of think, oh, that person's cool, and then you read more about them and you're like, oh, they're a bit of a dick.
Yes, that happened last week with Howard Hughes.
Exactly, yeah.
And almost every time we do a biography
show. Yeah.
Apart from
that will Polly. Not be the case.
Okay, thank God. Yes, 98 years of good times.
She's so cool.
Roald Dahl all over again.
Yeah, we're like, oh, I remember all those wonderful sort of, bit of a dick. Okay, bit of a dick.
Oh, my God, he was awful.
So Betty's the only child of Christine and Horace White.
Are they still alive?
I believe so, yes.
She's got strong genes.
Very strong genes.
Her parents are 120 and 122.
Betty White will actually outlive us all.
Horace.
Love that name.
You don't want to repeat Christine. That's not interesting to you. Horace is more interesting
Christine's
to you.
Christine's a very modern name. That's ageless. Whereas Horace...
Christine's come back around. Horace hasn't had a resurgence in my lifetime.
Horace Grant in the NBA in the 90s. Played for maybe the Bulls. I think he wore glasses, goggles.
Oh, of course he did. Horace.
I love goggles.
Horace, yeah. Four eyes, even an NBA player. Hey, Four Eyes, I'm playing the NBA.
How am I not the coolest guy in my high school? He comes back and gets bullied by the former students. Yeah. I played with Michael Jordan. I don't care.
I don't care. And come here for your wedgie. All right. So, yeah, she was born in Illinois and the family moved to California when she was a little over a year old. They were living in LA, actually, when the Great Depression first hit. And Betty's father, who worked as an executive for a lighting company, built radios on the side as a way to make extra money. But it being the Great Depression, people didn't have a lot of expendable income. So quite often he would trade the radios for other goods, including on one occasion, a dog.
I don't have any cash, but I do have this bucket full of radios. Can I have that dog, please?
Did they eat the dog? What are you doing with the dog in the Great Depression?
I think they were probably okay because he had like...
Oh, he had a radio job.
And a
gig on the side.
He was side hustling.
She is so old that she moved to Hollywood before it was Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was kicking on, but that's weird.
Oh, for younger listeners, radios are like the iPhone 10s of the day. Is that what we're up to?
And dogs are like edible cats.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Cats aren't edible. Or bats, we've learned.
Yeah, we learned the hard way there, didn't we? Yeah. Hey? Everyone has to sit inside their homes now, don't they?
Yeah. Never eat them. You can kiss them. You can hug them.
Lick them.
You can lick them. You can suck them. But you don't eat them.
Just don't swallow. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
You can go to third base. No further. Eating them. That's home base.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I understand.
Home run.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I'm still a virgin.
I had a home run with a chicken this afternoon. Tasty little treat.
Let's isolate that little clip.
Yep.
What I'm saying is I had sex with the chicken.
You should have said that in a southern accent. Finger looking good. Jeez, that's nowhere near it, is it?
No, that wasn't bad.
That's
very
kind.
Good.
We don't have listeners in the south, do we? Of America. We're so much further south than them. How do they get to claim the south?
We're south.
Come on.
Go south. Oh, then Tasmania might go.
I'll accept it from the penguins.
Yes. And no. Tasmanians?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it's mostly penguins there. Anyway, while Betty was in high school, she was interested in a career that allowed her to follow her love of wildlife. She wanted to be a forest ranger. Unfortunately, though, women were not allowed to be forest rangers at the time.
She's so old.
You can't let them out in the woods. Bears, they don't like the smell of ladies. It's very confusing. So she turned her attention to writing and fell in love with performing. Only a few months after graduating from high school in 1939, she found a bit of work modelling and got her first acting role in a small theatre.
She graduated high school in 1939.
Yeah.
She's older than World War II. She
Speaking
was an adult
of...
during World War II.
Speaking of, when World War II started, she put her acting career on hold and volunteered for the American Women's Voluntary Services. Apparently,
did they accept women?
They did accept women almost exclusively.
Wow.
Which then got them in a lot of trouble for discrimination. So then they let men in.
I was part of that protest, actually. Yeah, yeah. We were furious. Yeah.
I object.
I do declare. So apparently her role was to transport military supplies through California, but I also read that she participated in events for troops before they were deployed overseas. And I have no idea what capacity she was involved in.
I know what Blanche was doing in that capacity.
Well, I like to imagine her dropping off military supplies and then, like, getting changed in the car into, like, a sequined outfit and then just, like, running onto stage. Like, she's just doing too much, you know. She's taken on so many different things. So she's volunteering with the AWVS. And when the war ended, Betty was around 23 years old and ready to get her acting career back on track. That same year, 1945, Betty married Dick Barker.
Oh, hang on.
That's a good name.
That is a great picture. Can you picture a barking dick?
I can't.
With his little mouth. Urethra. Yeah.
Why is it such a yappy little...
It's a little Jack Russell. Oh, okay, sorry. Sorry, it's a big hog. Is that how you're happy now?
Yes.
Because that'd be more of a dick oinker if it was a big hog. We're going off track here. Sort of what we were.
Dick that was Barker. Like, I would trade a radio for that.
But there's another famous Barker who's... a game show host. But he's not Dick Barker, is he? Bob Barker.
It's a different guy, I got to be honest.
Stage name.
Yeah.
Imagine a little Bob barking.
What's a Bob?
Sorry, I forget you're a virgin. What a Bob is. It's just underneath the dick. Just above the gooch.
Okay. Anyway, so she marries Dick Barker, who is a US Air Force pilot. The marriage was short-lived. It lasted less than a year. I read somewhere that he wanted her to, like, give up on her showbiz dreams, on her acting career, and she was like, no. So...
I bet he felt that he made the right choice.
I bet he feels like a fool now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. He's definitely also alive.
Yeah.
I reckon she should have stuck it out with him.
Yeah, I reckon she should have just, you know, I mean...
I don't see big future for this girl.
Relationships take work, you know what I mean?
That's from my experience. They take work. That's all I would say.
Are you saying they take sacrificing your dreams?
Yeah. So this is my last podcast. I quit. Nah, fuck that. Anyway, so she starts approaching big movie studios looking for any work she could possibly get. However, despite her previous modelling work, she was turned down because she was too unphotogenic. Bit cruel.
Can I just ask, does she already look like a grandmother?
No.
I can't imagine her any other way.
No, she was gorgeous.
She was very, very attractive, young looking
lady. And you know
how
you see photos from the olden days and you're like, we were talking about this last week.
Yeah, Howard Hughes said to be very handsome at the time. Look at him now. He looks a bit like a serial killer.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. What's not hot about that?
I love the dead eyes.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. But no, even, you know, objectively now, Betty, gorgeous.
Yeah, Betty's hot still.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Hot in Cleveland.
Oh, is that what you meant? Gotcha.
Anyway, so if she wasn't photogenic, she would find a job where that didn't matter. So she started looking for work in radio.
Oh, smart.
We've all done it.
Got to say, that hurt reading it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you can be both. No, you can't. And she said, I'd go around on casting days and try to get a job. Tuesday was casting day. And I'd just go in and sit around the office. I figured if they saw me often enough, they'd just think they had hired me. And then they'd just give me a job to do.
It's like George Costanza, basically.
I'll just sit here and see what happens.
I'll work here.
Yeah, what's up? What do you need? You want that? Yeah, I could do that for you. Yep. So one of her first radio jobs earned her $5 a show, where she would just read commercials or play small roles or sometimes make crowd noises in the background.
One hand clapping. Not even bothering to clap both hands.
She's like, you got to pay me 10 for both hands.
You said it.
I regretted it. After appearing on, she does this for many years. She's just doing anything she could. Any opportunity that came up, she takes it. She's working for free sometimes, whatever.
So she's been in showbiz for 8 decades. Is the first 6 or 7 decades just show, just audience noises? Is that what she did?
I wouldn't say decades, but years, probably, yep.
And she's not just doing audience noises. She's also saying, there's never been a better time to buy carpet cleaner.
After appearing on numerous popular radio shows, she eventually got her own radio show, creatively titled The Betty White Show.
Oh, wow. That's a leap from clapping in the background
to having her own show.
Yeah.
I know. In 1947, she married a man named Lane Allen, who was a Hollywood agent. This marriage only lasted a couple of years, and they were divorced in 1949. That year, 1949, she got her big break, age 27 by this point, by the way, where she was invited to join radio presenter Al Jarvis on a new project. Al Jarvis hosted a popular radio program called Make Believe Ballroom, which...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I should definitely flag it. Some of these radio shows and TV shows have incredible names.
That is awesome. Not to be confused with Make Believe Ball Pit, which is my show, where I pretend that I'm in a ball pit.
And mine, Make Believe Ball Sack, where I pretend my...
Yes.
My balls aren't floating loose. So,
do you not have a ball sack?
Well, I've said too much, but
how have I known you for so long?
At this point, radio's pretty new. They could choose any names.
Yeah,
it's not like they're running low on ideas. They could have anything.
So, if you have a bit of an issue. With Make Believe Ballroom or the Betty.
I do.
I actually love it.
Let me just tell you here that the Betty White Show comes up another 3 times.
Right.
All different.
Okay.
So just think of anything else. Anyway, so Al was the host of Make Believe Ballroom, and it was adapted into a television program called Hollywood on Television.
Okay.
Pretty good.
I mean, that's better. Surely that's better.
Hollywood on Television.
Yeah, I think that's good.
That's better than your show, My Balls on Television.
Matt just stands in front of the camera.
I guess I walked right into that, having my heart crushed.
And your balls.
Oh.
Crushed.
Not again.
Why are we talking about your balls so much? I don't like it.
It's a really blue episode.
Like blue balls. So the program Hollywood on Television, it was on 6 days a week. And it was live for 5.5 hours every day.
What?
No commercial breaks.
It was an ad-libbed variety show with just the two of them.
What?
Five and a half hours.
I love it. I want that job.
Would they have props or was it a bit like, oh, this water bottle? Ooh.
Then they'd talk about that for an hour.
Yeah, what's the
And then they'd
feature?
Still have 4.5 hours to fill. It sounds like a nightmare gig, honestly.
I want to do it.
I don't.
Why do they pay for $5? I'm in.
I think by this time she's probably making slightly more cash, maybe like seven. So, yeah, they did that for several years. Al Jarvis left the show in 1951 and film star Eddie Albert took over. He only lasted in the role for 6 months, finding 5.5-hour days, 6 days a week to be a bit much. But don't worry too much about him, though, because he a few years later he was nominated for an Academy Award for his performance in Roman Holiday alongside Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn. So he had a pretty good career anyway.
Okay, it sounds like he made some good choices.
And he played the warden in 1974's The Longest Yard.
He played the water?
The warden!
Oh, I was going to say that would be
amazing. Played the water.
What a great actor.
And that he played the water as in the instrument.
Oh.
Same noise, actually.
Has it got keys?
Yeah, water's got keys, Dave. This is Christ, Dave.
That's one of the dumbest questions I've ever
heard. What the fuck is wrong with you? Sorry. You dumb shit.
Sorry, my second dumbest question is, do you have a ball sack?
That is a dumb question.
You
we all know he doesn't.
About that. We've got a couple of floating boys down here.
Floating and hover. What? They hover.
A couple of hover boys.
They're not attached to you at all.
You know those guys who have those silver balls and they like twiddle them through their fingers?
Magicians?
Yeah, that's based on my balls. Magicians, they knelt at the altar of my crotch.
What the fuck?
I taught them.
Look, I'm going to ask you one question. Is that?
Shut up!
My question is, have you been drinking? Because it really sounds like it.
No, he's had coffee.
About a night coffee.
Oh, no more.
Triple shot.
They knelt at the altar of my balls.
That is not what I said. Altar of my crotch.
I do beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. I beg forgiveness at the altar of your crotch. So Eddie's left the show after 6 months. Al Jarvis is gone. And now Betty is left to host the show by herself.
5.5 hours a day alone.
She's believed to have been the first female television talk show host as a result, because she's just there by herself for 5.5 hours, 6 days a week.
So people just watched her go insane in real time.
Well, why? Surely you wouldn't sit down and watch it for 5.5 hours.
No, it must be like a bit of background noise.
Yeah, while you're doing stuff.
Like radio TV. Do you remember that episode of The Simpsons where TV went down and Krusty went to like an old outpost somewhere and he was just making characters with Mr. Oil Can? And
yeah.
I imagine it would have gone something like that.
So one thing I read was after a period of White talking directly into the camera lens for hours at a stretch, the show began accepting guests to interact with her as well as gradually incorporating scripts and sketches. Gradually.
Yeah.
They didn't think to put that in the first place.
No. Well, Zoom wasn't around yet.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't Zoom.
Yeah.
Did they just throw her a scorpion like Krusty? Stingy?
Betty says that close to one full hour of Hollywood on television was consumed by commercials. Most of the ads she presented herself, but occasionally the sponsor would do their own spot.
What are you? So just when you think she's getting a break, she's doing the commercials as well.
Yeah. It's not like we'll be right back and then they go to a pre-recorded ad. She then does the ad.
That, I mean, she'd probably enjoy that because she's got a script to read or something.
Yeah, at least that's some structure. So she says, but sometimes sponsors would come in and do the spot themselves. She goes, there was Lou Slicer who called himself by the name of the product he sold, a handy dandy little cutting machine that could slice anything, including many of our viewers' fingers. We discovered that when the mail started coming in. People going, I bought it and I sliced myself. He changed his name.
The handy dandy little.
To Lou Slicer.
Maybe he was born with that name.
I don't think he was.
That gave him a great idea.
Yeah, he thought, hey, you know what would be handy? Handy
a little dandy.
In 1951, the Emmy Awards introduced a new category to include women, and Betty was nominated for Best Actress.
For that role?
Yeah.
Okay.
She didn't win. The award went to Gertrude Berg. Probably dead.
Yeah, that's not the name of a survivor.
Gertrude Berg. That same year, she formed a production company called Bandy Productions. It was named after her dog, Bandit.
Which she traded a radio for, so.
Yeah.
Never paid cash for a dog.
Never. Don't do it. She started the company with George Tibbles. And
is that her cat? Well,
that was named after her cat, for sure. George Tibbles.
And Don Federson.
Her chicken.
Jeez, a lot of names have died out.
Yeah. Federson.
John.
It's Don.
Okay. Well, John was another example.
We know some Johns. John is a name.
Oh. But do you know any Dons?
No.
President of America?
Oh, can you... Do you reckon anybody calls him Don?
Yes.
What about Donnie?
Yeah, from the Ninja Turtles.
That sucks.
Donnie. Donnie Wahlberg. Marky Mark's brother.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Did he ever get called Donnie Don? Should do.
So together with George and Don, they took one of the recurring sketches from Hollywood on television where Betty played a housewife called Elizabeth and created a half-hour sitcom called Life with Elizabeth, which ran in syndication for 2 years and 65 episodes. It was actually really, really popular.
That's amazing. That, yeah. I mean, recurring sketches make sense when you've got 5 hours to fill it.
Totally. Bring back.
Let's see what Elizabeth's up to, and it's just her, like, cooking a roast in real time.
It was genuinely, like, pretty nothing, inoffensive, kind of dull stuff, but people liked it.
Makes sense. This is why she's getting an actress nomination then. She's doing some acting.
Yep. So she's starring in and producing the show, making her one of very few women with full creative control in front of and behind the camera.
Yeah, she was also the camera operator.
Yeah, yeah. And she did catering.
Yep.
What do I feel like today?
Yeah, she would do first aid on set if anybody got a little boo-boo.
Yeah,
for a little Band-Aid on it.
Greg the Slicer.
Yeah.
Greg the Slicer. What was his name?
Louis.
Louis.
Lou Slicer.
Lou Slicer.
Okay, the handy bandy, little pandy.
Yeah. In 1954, she hosted and produced her own daily talk / variety show called The Betty White Show.
Okay.
You think that there's anyone in history who's said more words out loud than her?
Oh, wow.
Really older than anyone else and has also been broadcasting, and those decades we're talking about now, she's spoke all day.
And she talks a pretty good clip as well.
Mm.
Dave. That is a fascinating question.
Has she spoken more than anyone in history?
Probably. Right?
I reckon we can say myth busted.
Yes.
It's the myth.
That someone else spoke more.
Okay.
That it's a myth that someone has spoken more than Betty White.
Yeah.
It's a myth.
What's a job where you talk more than that?
Other radio announcers.
Or like telephone operators? Do they
She's on 5.5 hours a day, 6 days a week for like 4 years. So you already, you know, you're just getting some solid talk time in.
Mm. But what about people who work 9 hour days, 6 days a week, and their job is talking on the phone?
Mm, good point.
What about... I used to work in a talking job.
Yeah, that's true. And I work on radio, but that's like...
That's a lot of music. You don't sing the songs there. No, like Betty would have.
She did sing songs on the show.
Yeah, so like, and we're going to throw to a song. It's a new one from me, Betty White.
Lou the Slicer.
They're all
singing about things you can see.
Yeah. And
little cat Tibbles in the corner over there.
So, yeah, now she's hosting her own talk show, The Betty White Show.
Like, I much prefer this name.
Yeah.
But this is The Betty White Show Volume 2.
This is the second Betty
White
Show.
It would have been out a show name like Curtains from the Stars, From Here to Mars with Betty White or something like that. I bet you that was on the shortlist.
Curtains from the Stars.
Yes.
From Here to Mars.
So the curtains come down from the stars and then back here to Mars.
Oh, they're not like curtains donated by celebrities.
No, no, they're sort of bouncing. It's a long roll of haberdashery from Spotlight or somewhere like that. And, yeah, the roll bounces and it goes... Like, stars are further away from Mars, so, you know, it didn't have enough in it to bounce all the way back to stars. That's what that was another idea they had, but they thought it would be unrealistic to call it Curtains from Stars Back All the Way Up to the Stars Again. They're like, that, no one's going to buy it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they stuck with Mars. Also, it was a bit catchier.
And it rhymes.
Yeah.
And that's always good.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think, Dave?
Oh, I think it's the only thing it must do.
So she's hosting the Betty White show. Like a sitcom, she had creative control over the series and was able to hire a female director. The show faced criticism for the inclusion of Arthur Duncan, who is an African-American performer, as a regular cast member. The criticism followed when NBC expanded the show nationally. Local southern stations threatened to boycott unless Duncan was removed from the series. In response, Betty White said, "I'm sorry, live with it," and gave Duncan more airtime.
Love it. You can see why some people might have been confused. This show has got White in it, so...
Yeah.
Tuning in going, hang on, this is not what it says on the box. The box is what they used to call the TV.
Right. And they just put Betty in very small print. So it's like, The White Show. That's something I can relate to. This is in 1954. And people are complaining. She's just going.
We don't even have TV in Australia yet.
No. No, we don't. We get it in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, so she just puts him on air more. She's just like, fuck you. Initially, it was a big rating success, but the show repeatedly changed time slots, which is always a bit of a nail in the coffin, isn't it? And it did suffer a lower viewership. So by the end of the year, NBC quietly cancelled the series. But Life with Elizabeth was still running. She's doing both at the same time, by the way.
Both for 5.5 hours a day, 6 days a week.
And it ran until 1955, after which she appeared as Vicky Angel on the ABC sitcom Date with the Angels.
Ooh.
So how do you feel about that?
She's one of the titular angels.
Yes, Vicky Angel.
Love a chance to say titular, as you all know.
Of course. It ran from 1957 to 1958. The sitcom was a critical and rating disaster, but ABC wouldn't allow White out of her contractual agreement and required her to fill the remaining 13 weeks in their deal.
So you're
digging
alive.
Holes.
Alive 23 hours a day, digging holes.
So what she did was she rebooted her old talk show, The Betty White Show.
I love this show. You can't kill it. Much like the titular Betty White. You can't kill it.
And that aired until her contract was fulfilled. By the time the 60s rolled around, Betty was in her late 30s and out of work. So she turned her attention to network game shows. She made many appearances on the hit show Password as a celebrity guest from 1961 all the way through to 1975. She was like a recurring guest all the time. She loved it.
She played the part of Mother's Maiden Name.
Primary school. That's my mother's maiden name.
Wow.
Very confusing.
Yeah, yeah, it's hyphenated.
Right.
Yeah, any primary school.
Did you also get a mother's maiden primary school? Very confusing for those two questions. Yeah. We've got to think about it.
Like, wait, what? So in the game Password, two teams, each composed of a celebrity player and a contestant, attempt to convey mystery words to each other using only single word clues in order to win cash prizes.
Mystery, so you describe one word by using another word.
Yeah. By the way, there's a lot of game shows in here, and where possible, I have found the synopsis of the show, and they're all very confusing.
Right. I love it.
Amazing. They could have come up with anything.
No.
And they've come up with nameless word. Basically.
But don't use this word.
For example, the word is beard. Mm. I just say to you, mustache.
David Boone.
One word, mustache.
Boone.
Getting closer?
Listen out, I don't know.
Is that works?
I'm sorry, is this it? I don't get
that
it.
For 5.5 hours.
It's that for a long time.
And it's only one question per episode.
Yeah.
It was through this show that Betty met her third husband, Alan Ludden, who hosted the program, and they were married in 1963. Betty became a game show regular, making frequent appearances on What's My Line? To Tell the Truth, I've Got a Secret, Match Game, and Pyramid. I think I've Got a Secret might be my favourite one.
That is
Oh, I've got a secret.
The whole game show is them going, can't tell us that.
No, not telling.
I'll give you one word clue. Mustache.
I'll tell you after the show's over. Yeah. I'll tell you off air.
That always happens. It's always off air. The big, it'll be revealed.
The credits are rolling. You can't hear what they're saying. And everyone's going, whoa. You got no ball sack? Betty, what?
That's crazy. This is before they knew. Women don't have ball sacks.
They didn't know a lot about women back then, did they?
They really didn't.
They didn't want to know.
They can't be forest rangers, I'll tell you that for sure. In 1962, she made her feature film debut playing a Kansas senator in Advise and Consent.
What would that sound like, a Kansas accent, man? Here we are, my wayward son. You're making when we are young. And we're ready to rest. Don't you cry no more. Answer my question.
Yeah, but you feel like an idiot now, don't you, Dave? Her performance was really well received, but it would be her only big screen appearance for many decades. She comes back to it.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
As in, she... It was a feature film debut, and she wasn't in another, like, big screen flick.
How old was she?
This is in 1962.
And how long till she did it again?
A while.
And it was an Adam Sandler film, wasn't it?
He brought her back. Did he?
God, we have so much to thank him for.
Absolutely.
Sandman.
A highlight of Betty's career was playing man-hungry Sue Ann Nivens on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yes, the cannibal.
Yeah, it was a weird show.
It was in the fourth or fifth season, and they were really jumping the shark. We need something to get these ratings back.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of this meat.
Man meat.
She's got blood on her face. Her husband looks tasty. Like, oh,
I think she did come into the show in like the fourth season or something. Apparently, while discussing the character when they wrote it, Mary Tyler Moore said, "We need someone who can play sickeningly sweet, like Betty White," which led to Betty White being cast.
Right.
The show was hugely popular, and Betty won 2 Emmys for her role. Insane. Following the end of the Mary Tyler Moore Show in 1977, Betty got her own sitcom on CBS, her fourth show entitled The Betty White Show.
Love it. Oh, that's a very confusing Wikipedia entry.
Yeah.
It genuinely is.
Sambiguification? I've never said that word out loud before.
Sambiguation.
This is what
I added a syllable.
Disambiguation. This is what the fourth Betty White Show was about. My mouth just made a weird noise.
That's called talking. Yes.
Stop! Make it stop! Make it stop!
It made some kind of like sound. Anyway,
yeah, that was not your mouth.
That was not your mouth.
Come on,
it was Matt's balls.
I've heard of some funny excuses before.
It was a chair.
Oh, my mouth did it.
Oh, I can't believe it made that weird noise while I was talking.
So the Betty White Show.
You've literally shat your pants, and you're like, "Oh, sorry, little frog in my throat." Everyone's looking at your stained pants.
Like sometimes my breath smells very bad. I'm so sorry about that. Wow, let me just go clean my teeth. I'm just gonna waddle to the bathroom.
I'm just gonna squelch over to the bathroom. Oh, sorry. I got some squelchy lips.
Don't look at my bum.
Keep making that noise with my mouth.
That's a yuck riff.
Yeah, you of all people would.
You got it on the poo jokes.
You did it. Anyway, I'm just trying to tell you about Betty White Show number 4.
Is this number 4?
It's number 4. Number 4. This is what the show was about. The show was about Joyce Whitman, played by Betty White, a middle-aged actress who lands the lead in a fictitious police series called Undercover Woman. It's a parody of Angie Dickinson's show Police Woman, so they called it Undercover Woman.
That's funny. If that's purposely funny, that's great.
Yeah.
I thought that was.
I thought it was serious, and I was like, "How easy was it to get a show back then?"
Undercover Woman. Oh, it was going to be like a Mrs. Doubtfire prequel or something.
Yeah, but so
good.
So Betty's character gets the lead in this show, and Joyce is thrilled with the show, but less pleased to learn that the director is her ex-husband, John Elliott, whom she unfondly refers to as Old Picklepuss. does that the mean? Show was cancelled after one season.
What does that mean, old pickle puss?
Who knows, but it's great.
Well, all right. We've got another conversation.
Yeah, I've can got you a secret.
Sadly, all good things must come to an end.
Wait, what?
No.
No.
She's tonight? Still alive.
Betty's husband.
No, pickle puss.
No, real life husband. Sorry. Alan Ludden died from stomach cancer on June 9th, 1981 in LA. The couple had been married for 18 years. To this day, Betty has not remarried since Alan's death. And in an interview with Larry King, when asked whether she would remarry, she replied by saying, once you've had the best, who needs the rest?
Oh, I love it.
That's a great line.
How good is that? Okay, so she's nearly, by this time she's nearly 60, she's recently widowed, but her career shows no sign of slowing down. In 1983, she hosted a game show called Just Men.
That is confusing.
Here's how the show worked. Two female contestants, one usually a returning champion, competed.
Okay, already not what it says on the box.
Wait. The object of the game was for the women to win keys by correctly predicting answers to questions posed previously to a panel of seven celebrities, all of whom were men.
Okay,
hence
Just Men.
The name of the show.
Right.
Just Men.
Right.
I tried so hard on the Wikipedia page to understand it, and I don't at all.
I'm confused.
Yeah, it's very confusing, but it ran for about 3 months. But it did win Betty a Daytime Emmy Award in the category of Outstanding Game Show Host, making her the first woman to win.
Right.
Just
Men. It only aired for 3 months. Just Men.
I'm guessing she was the only good thing about it then.
Surely.
She won an award, but it tanked. And people would have been tuning in going, what's happening?
I don't understand
what's
this
panel?
The Wikipedia article is
confusing. They're winning keys by guessing answers to questions.
So there was like seven keys.
Okay.
And one of them started a car. And so if you got it right, you got a key from that man, Just Men. And then he would go over and try to start the car. And if it worked, like, you won the car. But most of the time it didn't.
Well, they were like dud cars.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Maybe it was rigged. But it was like such a confusing concept. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But she won an Emmy. She appeared so frequently on so many game show hosts.
Surely the name of that show would have something with keys or cars.
No.
Yeah, like Key to Success or something.
It being Just Men does not feel noteworthy.
It does have an exclamation mark at the end. Does that change it at all for you?
Okay, yeah. Now I get it.
Is that better?
Just Men. You were saying it. You were saying it, not exclaiming it.
You put a full stop on the end and I didn't like it.
No,
well, how would I exclaim? I was doing a hand gesture and everything.
That's true.
Don't
I was always saying, Just Men.
You know that weird sound you made with your mouth before?
Yes.
That was a bit of an exclaim. Try it again. One more time. Come on.
You can't force those things.
I'll do it.
Okay.
This is how you should say Just Men.
Yeah, right.
If you're with an exclamation mark.
Okay.
You were saying Just Men.
Uh-huh.
Full stop.
Yep.
This is how I would say Just Men exclamation mark.
Yep.
Just Men exclamation mark.
Ah. See? Yes. No, I hear the difference.
Subtle,
here.
But it's
it is subtle. Big.
And that's, I mean, if I was around, that show'd still be running.
I'm really sorry if that was misleading to any listeners, that you weren't quite getting the appropriate tone. That's on me.
You know who can say that show title properly? Just Men.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So Betty's appeared so frequently on so many game shows that she's been affectionately dubbed the first lady of game shows. She loves them.
Oh, she's married to a game show.
She's married to a game show, yeah. Well, I said she never remarried, but...
But she did to just men. Not just once men. To seven men.
Yeah. In 1985, she scored her second career highlight role and the biggest hit of her career as Rose on The Golden Girls. The series chronicled the lives of four widowed or divorced women in their golden years who shared a home in Miami. The Golden Girls, which also starred Bea Arthur, Estelle Getty and Rue McClanahan, was immensely successful and ran from 1985 through to 1992. Bea Arthur was initially hesitant because she thought that she and Rue were basically reprising their roles from the TV show Maud, which had aired in the 70s, and that Betty White was basically playing the same character she'd played on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She was kind of like, what's the point here? But then she finally agreed to be on the show when Rue told her that she and Betty had swapped roles. Betty would play Rose, who she described as so innocent, not the brightest nickel in the drawer, but funny. So they kind of swapped roles, and so Rue became like the... Rue plays Blanche, the...
Oh, the sexy one.
Samantha. Yeah. The... Which Ninja Turtle was...
Michelangelo.
Right, thank you. Now I'm back on board. I know what you're talking about.
So confusing.
Now.
The show was a massive hit.
The Barry Van Dyke for people playing at home.
The Barry Van Dyke.
God, he had so many girlfriends on Diagnosis Murder.
Did he?
Outrageous.
Did he wait long between, like, was there much of a break between them?
Oh, no. It was a bit Jerry Seinfeld, like, every couple of episodes would be new love interest.
Did you ever see, like, the breakup?
No, they'd usually just disappear, and in the next episode he's making out with another girl. A lot of making out from Barry Van Dyke.
Yeah, he was kind of like the Fraser Crane.
I was definitely thinking of Dick Van Dyke for some reason.
Oh, Barry, no, it's his son, Barry.
Okay, yes.
Remember the game, that famous game we created?
Of course.
Dick, Barry, or Shane.
Yeah, and Barry was, of course, the father of Shane.
Yes.
Yes.
Like father, like son.
I say we came up with that game on an episode of this that hasn't come out yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Just stay tuned for...
Oh, yeah.
The origin story of Dick Barry, right. Shane.
I also did a tweet about that, not realising that we hadn't put it out yet.
We've definitely mentioned it on the podcast since. I'm sure we have.
It's a great moment.
Wait for it. Are you a Dick, Barry or Shane? Or will you Dick, Barry or Shane? Dick, Barry and Shane.
Yeah.
It'll make sense.
It'll make sense soon. Don't worry about it.
Shane is also a Van Dyke.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so The Golden Girls, massive hit, won heaps of awards, including the Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Comedy Series twice. It won 3 Golden Globe Awards for Best Television Series, and each of the 4 stars received an Emmy Award, with Betty and Estelle both being nominated 7 times and Rue and Bea being nominated 4 times.
She's got a stacked cabinet full of trophies.
Yeah, she's got a lot of awards.
I've never seen The Golden Girls.
I mean, I've seen like 3 episodes.
Right, and... It holds up for something.
I think it's pretty good. Like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's an older style of sitcom that we've kind of moved past, and a few of the jokes now, having seen so many different sitcoms over the years, you kind of see the jokes coming a little bit. But the performances are good, the characters are good, the chemistry is good. Like, it still holds up. It's still a fun show.
It used to get repeated when I was a kid on daytime, like afternoons all the time.
So yeah.
I couldn't remember seeing it, but I mean, I remember seeing it, but couldn't tell you any specific episodes or anything. It was one of those things that was just always around. And I can't, what's the song?
Thank you for being a friend.
I do know the song.
Of course.
Something, something, and back again.
You're a pal and a confidant. Is that
yeah, I love pal the use of confidant.
Thank you.
And if you threw a party and you needed, what is it?
And if you threw a party.
And you invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me.
Oh. So it's a bit, it's a braggadocious song.
Yeah, it's I would bring the biggest gift.
Yeah. Because I love you the most. Right. Don't ever leave.
That's what it means, of course. Yeah. I've never seen it.
Isn't that interesting? You know that's
too well.
You would see.
Yes. The biggest gift will be from me. Then
I'm thanking you, I think it is.
Yeah. God damn, well done.
Wow.
They wrote good theme songs for sitcoms in the 80s and 90s, I reckon.
Yeah.
I was assuming I was going to be able to sing along to that, but I could not. But I recognise it.
So, yeah, the show is about Dorothy, Blanche and Rose, who are all a similar age. I think Blanche is supposed to be a bit younger, and they're sharing a house in Miami. Dorothy's mother, Sophia, is around a lot, but the actress Estelle, who played Dorothy's mother, is younger than Dorothy. They just put her in a wig and makeup. It was like a 3-hour process.
Well, a bit of a Grandma Yetta situation.
Yeah, to make her look. Was Grandma Yetta not actually that old?
Oh, I don't know. She's definitely
wasn't that old.
Wearing a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the big glasses.
Big glasses, yes. It was a lot of that.
But is, I think she was about a year younger or something.
She was, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was heavy makeup and stuff. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently, I did read on IMDb trivia, love that place, that she got a facelift between series one and series two, and the makeup artist was like, for fuck's
sake. Why would you?
Now we've got to work even harder to make you look old.
What a weird decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not in the makeup 24/7, you know?
That's true.
You've got to be Estelle when you're not Sophia. You know what I mean?
Right.
Are you a Sophia or are you a Sophia?
Maybe she didn't want to be recognised on the street because you wouldn't recognise her looking even younger.
That's true.
It's true.
Jeez, what a perfect crime that is.
Yeah.
Perfect crime. Betty had a strained relationship with Bea Arthur on and off set on their television show, commenting that Arthur was not that fond of me and that she found me a pain in the neck sometimes. It was my positive attitude. That made me mad sometimes. Sometimes if I was happy, she'd be furious.
That is the classic, my biggest fault is caring too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess
I was too positive.
Yeah. I guess I just, I don't know. I worked too hard. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
And that really upset her.
But it did seem that Bea didn't really get along with anyone all that well. But it was still like a great show for them to all work on. You don't have to be absolute best friends with people to work with them. As we prove.
Well, you don't have to, but it's really nice, right?
Yeah, I'm glad we are.
Yeah, please never
leave. Goodness, we are.
Yeah, that we are obvious friends.
Yes.
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 Yes. After 7 seasons, the Golden Girls came to an end when Bea Arthur chose to leave the series. So the hour-long series finale, which aired in May 1992, Dorothy, who's played by Bea, meets and marries Blanche's uncle Lucas, played by Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, yes.
How good is that? And moves to Hollingsworth Manor in Atlanta, Georgia. Sophia wants to join her, it's her mother, but in the end she stays behind with the other women in Miami. And this led to the spin-off series The Golden Palace.
Oh.
Never heard of that.
I've dined there.
Does sound like a dumpling place.
Mm, delicious.
So this is from Wikipedia. The Golden Palace begins where the Golden Girls had ended, in the quartet's now sold Miami house. Dorothy didn't own the house. So I don't know why they had to sell it. Just get somebody else in. House. Blanche.
Right.
Anyway, so they sell the house. Dorothy's married and gone. So the three remaining roommates, Sophia, Rose and Blanche, decide to invest in a Miami hotel that is up for sale. The hotel, however, is revealed to have been stripped of all its personnel in an effort to appear more profitable, leaving only 2 employees, the hotel's manager and the hotel's chef. This requires the women to perform all the tasks of the hotel staff.
Fantastic. So they had a show that was working really well.
And
one of the cast members left. So they fucked it.
Yeah.
Surely they could have just kept the series going without it.
Well, apparently they brought someone in. Now I can't remember who it was. They brought someone in to do a bit of a screen test to see if they could just replace her, but the chemistry wasn't as good.
Charlie Sheen.
It was Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
They couldn't find someone who matched the chemistry, but like if you take one person out, do the other three not still have chemistry?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they did in The Golden Palace.
Was Fawlty Towers big at the time or something? It sounds like...
What year was Fawlty Towers?
That was 80s, wasn't it? Or 70s? Was that 70s, maybe?
No, it wasn't 70s, was it? I'm not sure, actually. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Oh, so this is in the 90s. So, yeah, Fawlty Towers would have been done by...
Yeah, you're right. So it's fine to then do the same idea.
I would have set it at a swimming pool change room and called it The Golden Showers. Oh, my God. All the shit things I've said today.
How long were you trying to work that in?
Oh, it was just counting me there. If I had thought on it for half a minute, I would have sat quietly for 10 as punishment to myself.
How long do you reckon this series, The Golden Palace, ran for?
Well, I'm guessing, because I've never heard of it.
4 episodes.
I didn't make a season, I'm guessing.
One season.
One season.
In addition, Betty White reprised her role as Rose in guest appearances on the shows Empty Nest and Nurses, which were both set in Miami.
Oh, because I was thinking Empty Nest might have been a spin-off, but that was a spin-off of something else. And it was another show about retirees in Miami.
But she just played the same character in four different shows.
Because it was set in Miami. Oh. Yeah. She also a guest on CSI Miami.
Unfortunately not. Well, not yet.
Right. Did she have a guest verse in Will Smith's Miami?
I believe yes.
Over to you, Betty White.
Welcome to Miami.
Nailed it.
Yeah, that's exactly what she sounds like. Then we come to the 2000s. In December 2006, at the age of 84, Betty White joined the soap opera The Bold and the Beautiful in the role of Anne Douglas. She made 22 appearances in it. Anne Douglas was the long-lost mother of the show's matriarch, Stephanie Forrester. She also began a recurring role in the ABC's Boston Legal from 2005 to 2008.
I remember her being great in that.
Of course she was. She's great in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember Boston Legal that well. Like, I definitely know the show title. It's
William Shatner.
Right, yes.
And that guy who played the bad guy in one of the X-Men films.
You love a law show, don't you?
Love a law show. Love a slightly quirky law show.
And you say Betty White was good in this. Of course she was. Betty White. Stupid question on my part. Sorry about that. She was introduced to a new audience of young viewers when in 2010 she appeared in an ad for Snickers. Do you remember?
Yes.
It aired during the 2010 Super Bowl, and the ad became very popular and won the top spot on the USA Today Super Bowl ad meter. Americans.
Did you get a try? That's in the cabinet for sure.
Surely. Do you remember the ad? Where there's like a bunch of guys playing football and Betty White's in there and then she gets
tackled. Like a real Betty White.
Yeah, and she's like, you've been riding me all day. and he says something like, mean, and she says, that's not what your girlfriend says. It's very funny. And then it's a Snickers.
And there's a Mr. T version.
Yeah, there's a few versions, and it's all that you're not you when you're hungry tagline. It was a huge success. Following the success of the Snickers ad, a grassroots campaign on Facebook called Betty White to host SNL, in brackets, please, began in January 2010. The group was approaching 500,000 members when NBC confirmed in March that Betty White would in fact host Saturday Night Live on the 8th of May. The appearance made her, at age 88, the oldest person to host the show. Before Betty, this title was held by Miskel Spillman.
Was that like in the 1930s? How long has Saturday Night Live been running?
Well, Miskel Spillman was a German grandmother from New Orleans who had won SNL's Anybody Can Host contest. Okay. And was 80 years old when she hosted in 1977.
She was actually a character, a John Candy character.
Miskel Spillman. In her opening monologue, Betty thanked Facebook and joked that she didn't know what Facebook was. And now that I do know what it is, I have to say, it sounds like a huge waste of time.
A bit.
Well, 10 years later, she's still right.
And would you believe, the appearance on SNL earned her a 2010 Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series, her 7th Emmy win overall.
She won it.
She won.
She won.
She won.
There's other people who actually have acted.
Yep. She hosted SNL.
What was the award, the category?
The award for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series.
Well, she would have acted in some sketches.
Yeah, she would have been in sketches and stuff. Obviously, as the hosts always are.
I reckon Miskel was robbed.
That was in 1977, and Miskel was 80.
Did she win?
And then 2010, Betty comes in at 88 years old. Fucking hell.
Miskel would be furious. She's listening to this. She probably hasn't heard.
She was so mad.
Now she's
well, nobody told her, do you reckon?
She's on the phone to Lorne Michaels
right now. Get me back on.
Get me on.
Get me back on. I'm 150. I don't do maths. Will that be about right?
Well, 123.
Fuck you, Dave.
Still, Miskel was born in 1897.
Why do you...
Same year that the VFL AFL was born.
There you go. Her claim to fame.
In June 2010, Betty White took on the role of Elka, the house caretaker on TV Land's original sitcom Hot in Cleveland. Again, a synopsis from Wikipedia. The series centres on three ageing entertainment industry veterans from Los Angeles, Melanie, Joy and Victoria. The three women find a more welcoming and less shallow and youth-obsessed community in Cleveland, Ohio, when, As seen in the pilot episode, their Paris-bound plane makes an emergency landing. They decide to stay and lease a home where sassy caretaker Elka, Betty White, still lives in the guest house. So they're flying to Paris, three entertainment industry veterans flying to Paris, their plane, emergency landing in Cleveland, Ohio. So they decide to stay.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, Ohio.
Just so crazy it might work.
Time. Who are the three? Was there any other names in that?
Wendy Malick's in that one.
Technically, that's a name.
Miskell Spillman.
You'd know Wendy Malick's face.
Okay.
And Valerie Bertinelli and Jane Leaves.
Three names.
Three names.
I don't think the last one was a name.
That was me panicking. The show ran for 5 years, making Betty White 93 years old when the series wrapped in 2015. Also during the same time, she was filming Hot in Cleveland. Between 2012 and 2014, Betty hosted and executive produced Betty White's Off Their Rockers, in which senior citizens played practical jokes on the younger generation. For this show, she received 3 Emmy nominations.
Wow.
She's hosting a prank show on the side.
She win, was it the Emmy for Best Prank?
Best Prank Show.
She doing like the reverse Jackass prank where he dresses up as an old man.
She dresses up as kids. I'm Johnny Knoxville.
She's dressed up as a Girl Scout, like selling cookies. Also in 2012, just during this time, she won her first Grammy for spoken word.
She's got half an EGOT now.
She's got half an EGOT.
And it's not too late. You got that Tony.
I wouldn't put it past her.
What's the other one?
Oscar. She's got an egg.
Mm.
So it was for the spoken word recording for her bestseller, If You Ask Me. It was her first Grammy at the age of 90. She's won 5 Primetime Emmy Awards, 2 Daytime Emmy Awards, including the 2015 Daytime Emmy for Lifetime Achievement. She's received a regional Emmy in 1952. It's probably, they don't do those anymore, I don't think. Anyway, she's got one. She's the only woman to have received an Emmy in all performing comedic categories and also holds the record for longest span between Emmy nomination for performances. Her first was in 1951 and her most recent was in 2011, a span of 60 years. She's also won 3 American Comedy Awards, including a Lifetime Achievement Award in 1990, 30 years ago. And she kept working since then. And 2 Viewers for Quality Television Awards. She was inducted into the Television Hall of Fame in 1995 and has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on Hollywood Boulevard alongside the star of her late husband, Alan Ludden. Their stars are next to each other.
That is truly beautiful.
Very cute. I mentioned at the start that she loved wildlife and that's something that has stayed with her throughout her entire life. She's worked with a number of animal rights organisations. She's a big supporter of the Farm Animal Reform Movement and Friends of Animals Group. And is on the board for the Los Angeles Zoo and has donated tens of thousands of dollars over the past 40 years. A Betty White calendar for 2011 was published in late 2010.
Bikini.
The calendar features photos from White's career with various animals. And she also launched her own clothing line in 2010, which features shirts with her face on them. And all proceeds go to various animal charities that she supports. I want one so bad. Anyway, at the time of recording, she is alive and well and has just celebrated her 98th birthday in January.
I hope she gets the 100.
I reckon she will.
Yeah, I reckon she will.
I reckon she'll make it.
Hopefully she doesn't Bradman it and go out for a duck when she just needs any score to make the 100.
Yeah. Somebody, I mean...
Thank goodness I understand that now.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to put it in a terms that people could understand at home.
Yeah.
And everyone has
doing a Bradman.
Doing a Bradman. You don't want to. He just needed one run, I think.
So why was it 4?
It was 4 runs in his last innings to retire with an average of 100, and he went out for a duck,
which is zero. You're not making this easy.
Needs an explanation in itself.
Just finally, as well, I have a couple of fun facts, but I might just leave you on this one. She was the oldest cast member on The Golden Girls. She doesn't look it, let me tell you.
Oh, cop that, B.
And has outlived all of her co-stars on the show.
Are they all dead?
Yep. B. Arthur passed away
in 2000. She saw to it.
It's in her contract. I must outlive them.
B. Arthur passed away in 2009 at the age of 86. Rue McClanahan passed away in 2010, age 76. And Estelle Getty passed away in 2008, age 84.
Wow.
So pretty good innings for all of them, but Betty still going at 98 years old. And a Dead Set legend. And that's my report on Betty White.
That was fantastic. A true great life.
In the Betty tradition, I'm giving some background applause.
Thank you, yes.
Get that man an Emmy.
God, you are good. Have you considered a career in radio?
Yes. And you know I have.
Please. Anyway, so yeah.
Can you pass on my CV to your boss?
You're way too old. They don't take 400-year-olds at Triple J. It's a youth station.
Tell that to Betty White. I bet they'd give Betty a job. If she asked for one, Triple J would give her a job.
Of course.
There's no one famously old at Triple J.
Father Bob.
Father Bob. Roy and HG were on there until... Went into their 50s, I'm sure.
That's, yeah. It's too
and you're what? You're nearly 30.
Shut up.
Don't tell them that.
I don't want my boss to know.
She's going to start lying about her age. You're 29 forever from now on.
22, thanks very much.
Sorry, 22 forever.
I'm very young. Dave, what year was I born?
1912.
I don't think you are as good at math as we thought you were. I've wanted to do a report on her for a while. I definitely think the patrons have voted on her maybe twice. Or she's been one of the options and they voted for something else. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go for it.
Fuck the patrons.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
They stuffed up because that was a great report. What a crazy life. And I didn't know much about her. I just knew of her.
Totally. But she's done so much. 80 years.
Yeah, she's one of those people who's just she's always around.
Yeah.
At my place. And it's great to to have her there.
You never ask her anything, though.
No, I never. I'm not interested. But it's great to have her there, sitting at the other end of the table, chowing down as she does. She bloody has got a hunger.
Does she?
Yeah.
What's her favourite food?
Oh, big chicken.
Big chicken.
Chicken. She supports big chicken. And I'm afraid of them because I think, you know, they're running things from underneath. But
underneath what?
Underneath the soil. You know how the flat earth has three layers.
Talking about mole people.
Yes. Betty White is a mole person.
Finally, we got it out of him.
Got it.
We got there.
What's that have to do with
big I've betrayed
chickens?
You, Betty. Oh, no. You know that she's vengeful and vengeful.
Yeah, she's vengeful.
She's vengeful. Which is a close relative of the mole people.
Well, that does bring us to the end of the report part of the episode, but the show must go on.
It's funny that you mentioned that you've put her up a few times for the vote. Mm. I've put Bradman up for the vote, I think, 6 times.
Whoa.
And he's come last every time.
Oh, man, Gary J, I'm so sorry.
Do you understand why I just squeezed in a little fact about him then, even though I was absolutely shoehorned in?
You've done nothing for his cause there, because all the American people that don't vote for him already are going to be like, I don't want to hear an hour of that. You being like, cricket is a game, Don Bradman was a man.
Duck is short for duck's egg, which looks like a zero, and that's why it means no runs.
I actually did not know that. I did not know that either.
I don't get cricket. Don't at me.
Luckily for you, it's not on at the moment.
That's good. Nothing is. Nothing is on at the moment.
And you're a fan of nothing.
I do fucking love nothing.
Apart from podcasts. Podcasts forever.
No. Yeah. We're really swooped in here.
What a great time.
Captured the market.
I've honestly only seen silver linings.
We've pulled a full Krusty the Clown here. We are out in the middle of the desert broadcasting.
Yeah.
Everyone else has been taken off air. We've got Stingy and the battery. We're going for it.
I like the idea of before Stephen Bradbury, it was called pulling a Krusty. And Bradbury swept in and took it from him. And Krusty fell
at the last second, of course.
Yeah, of course. So what we like to do after the report, this is sort of the second section of the show, what a lot of people have dubbed the better section.
Mm, the main meal.
Yeah, that's right. You've had your entree, you've had your hors d'oeuvres.
Papadoms or bread.
Now let's get into the big chicken. this first part is a section called the fact, quote, or question section of the show. It's got a little jingle that goes something like this.
Fact, quote, or question.
And the way it works is if you support us on Patreon at patreon.com/dogoonpod on the Sydney Sheinberg Deluxe Memorial Edition Rest in Peace level, then you get to give us a fact, a quote, or a question. You also get to give yourself a title. We do 2 of these a week. This week, the first one, multi-time fact, quote, or questioner, Kevin Ulysses Packrad.
Oh, what a great name. The name never gets old.
And he's given himself the title, official sand adjudicator / pretzel checker of the Do Go On podcast. And that's a reference that I can't remember, but feels vaguely
sand adjudicator.
And pretzel checker.
Yeah, I mean, sure if pretzels have come up before.
If you're going to need two portfolios, they go together really well.
I donated blood earlier this week. Wait, what day is it?
Well done. That's great.
Maybe last week. And because I always have snacks at the end, this time, small packets of mini pretzels.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mini.
Yum.
Oh, my God. What a delight it was.
Imagine if it was a small packet of a big pretzel.
That'd be crazy.
And only like one small bit ripped off is in there.
I'd be okay with that.
I love a big
pretzel. Love pretzels.
I grew up thinking pretzels were mini pretzels.
Sure, yes.
That was all they were to me.
Yep.
Big pretzels, or pretzels as they're called in Germany.
Mm. Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Incredible.
I've told this before, but at Oktoberfest, that's what I lived on because they didn't do any vegetarian food there. All I ate was pretzels.
Honestly, kind of sounds okay. I'd be happy with that.
You know that little act out we did before about you shitting yourself? I lived it.
Because you had too many pretzels?
I did nothing but drink litres of beer and eat pretzels.
And you...
6 days in a row. And then, hang on. It all went wrong.
You lived the whole thing of going, oh, what a strange noise my mouth made. I've got to go.
Yeah, and I went straight and to an airport and I'm like, I need to leave this country. No joke. I flew out under the cover of darkness when I was meant to stay for another couple of days. I'm like, I got to leave Germany. And I went to Prague. Anyway.
And you were covered in shit.
Did you bathe before you left? Or?
Oh, look, I made it. Let's just say that.
What, you waited until you got to Prague before you took the shit?
Sounded like a duck waddling. That's awful. Awful stuff. And apologies.
What a gift.
But Kevin Ulysses Packrad.
He's offered us a question. And it starts with a little somber note here by the looks of it. Hey, guys, so this will be my last fact, quote, or question for a little while, or at least until I've gotten more money.
Oh.
He's taking a break.
That's okay.
That's absolutely fine.
That is fine.
Kev.
Do not apologise.
Absolutely fine. You've supported us for so long. So
Patreon
thank you.
Is absolutely optional.
Yes, that's right. It's not
only,
a necessity.
Yeah, only if you can and would like to. It's absolutely fine. Thank you, Kevin.
You got to tick both those, can and would like to. If it's only one of them.
Yeah, if you can but you don't want to, probably don't do it.
But, I mean, I'm not against it. So he goes on to say, today I have a question. It has two parts.
Ooh.
Okay.
To begin.
Very formal. I love it.
This is going to be an essay, isn't it?
To begin, in the beginning, I'm a first-year student at Marist College in Poughkeepsie. Poughkeepsie, some of that, New York, brackets. Go Red Foxes! Exclamation mark. You see
foxes.
How I explained that?
It's not like Red Fox. Red yes. Foxes.
He was a comedian, so their mascot is multiple Red Foxes.
Great.
Is that right? Red Fox is a comedian?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that right? And I am an English major with a cinema studies minor.
Right.
I was an English minor.
Yeah. I minored in both those things.
You and I.
Isn't that fun?
I live in the bottom corner of a building called Leo, which is also my star sign.
Oh, my God.
Holy moly moly.
Wow.
With my roommate, Cal.
How is this a question?
He wasn't joking when he was going to the beginning.
How is this a question?
And
now, a few weeks ago.
What star sign is Cal?
Yeah. Cal.
Now, a few weeks ago, Cal mentioned to me that he was thinking of taking on accounting as his minor. My question is, would you please attempt to dissuade him from making this horrifying mistake? And also, would you give a shout-out to my friend Anna, who occasionally listens to the show? Thanks, guys.
Okay, so on the off chance that Anna might be listening now and has listened all the way through to the end, hi, Anna.
Hello, Anna.
Secondly, Cal. Let's have a chat.
Okay.
Because I can only assume your surname is Culator. And you're going to go into accounting with a name like Calculator.
Mate, it's the role you were born to play. I can't go against that.
Well, I mean, look, you just have to ask yourself, are you willing to put up with that and being mocked forever?
Mm.
Yeah.
'Cause people
or do you want to do something where, you know, you have a will to live?
I get it, because if when he's called Mr. Culator, that'll sound stupid. Is that right?
Yeah.
Getting that?
Put that on a business card, Mr. Culator.
It's dumb.
He ends heartbreakingly with the sentence, hope to see you on your North American tour. I'm guessing you wrote this about
four weeks ago.
Weeks ago.
Yep. Well, you know.
Kevin.
One day, Kevin.
Kevin, if you haven't
Unless
heard...
Unless we just continue to get all sorts of weird viruses that mean we can't travel, and then we'll just take the hint, I reckon.
Our yet-to-be-announced October American tour has been cancelled. So, which is, yeah, hopefully you're... I mean, the start of that sentence might have got you excited.
Yeah.
Our 2020 October tour of America is not happening anymore because of, you know, the... What I like to call the troubles.
I don't think you can call it that. I think that's been taken.
Which one's the troubles?
That's the Irish one.
Oh, sorry. You know that I'm something like
1/16th Irish.
You're everything.
I'm a majority Irish.
You're a man of the world.
Yeah, true. Hey, when you got it, flaunt it. That's not an appropriate phrase.
Thank you to Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for helping me finish there. And... said that before, and what's going on? And I'd also love to thank Bron all day.
Bron!
Oh, we've only got a few minutes.
Bit of fun.
I'm saying what I'd like to do. I'd like to thank Bron all day, but I'll instead thank Bron Alde, and who's given herself the title Patreon Mum. Oh, we needed one of these.
Yeah. We need you, Bron.
Reminding the patrons to eat their broccoli, get their dirty laundry out of their bedroom, and really, would it hurt to text me if you're going to be home late? I mean, it's not as though you're not on your phone all the time anyway.
Yeah.
That's a great title. All included. And she's offered a fact. And the fact is, the key to making a fluffy scone... All right, I'm listening.
Yes.
All our attention is
here.
We're
listening, Bron.
The key to making a fluffy scone, or scone, depending if you say it right or not, is a very hot oven. Not overworking the dough, and don't be tight with the dough per scone ratio. You're better than... I was assuming that was going to go with you're better than that, but it didn't. You were better with fewer bigger scones.
You're better with fewer.
Thank you. I was going to say, read it with that tone, though. You're better with fewer bigger scones.
Also... you must put the jam on. Oh, okay.
You have to read it.
The truth. This is a fact.
Read what Bron said.
This is a fact.
Well, it's a false fact, but I'll read it as she's written it. You must put the jam on, then the whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be tight with the condiments either. Okay.
I agree with everything.
Not agree more, yes.
Yes.
I firstly disagree with the order. Secondly, I disagree with using whipped cream. I disagree and disagree.
You're a clotted man.
Clotted. It's got to be clotted.
I don't mind either way.
Clotted on first.
Yuck.
Thick clot.
Yuck.
I mean, clot is not a friendly
Clot's
word.
A disgusting food, word.
But I didn't make it up. Thank you, Bron. Thank you, Kevin. Fantastic work from both of you.
Bron, I'll happily come over for scones anytime.
Oh, yes.
She does them right.
She does. She starts them off right, making them big and fluffy. She loses the plot from there. I'd also love to thank a few patrons. What we normally like to do is go through and thank a few of our patrons. I've spent my lockdown going through and cross-checking all the shout-outs we've done so far, and I've found a fair few ones we've missed over the years because of the weird Patreon sorting system.
Dave and I have been playing video games.
That's right. I got a Nintendo Switch, and it is a fun time.
It's a great time.
I've been exercising and just working this spreadsheet real hard.
That's a great game.
You know how to really isolate.
What you do is you lick a certain amount of envelopes in an hour, and then the next hour you see if you can beat that number.
I glow now.
So I'd love to thank if I can. Or do you want to come up with a game that you know?
Oh, yeah, okay. Should we name their TV show?
Oh, fantastic.
Are they all the Betty White show?
They are now.
Star of the Betty White show.
Well, we can name their game show.
Okay, that's
fine. The game show.
Name their game show, and it's got to be some and done.
I'm going to use only things I can see right now.
Right, good idea. Which I reckon is what they did in their writers' meetings as well. I'd first like to thank who's been waiting patiently since 2017.
Oh, boy.
So sorry about that. Marcus Brissman.
Brissman.
Brissman cometh.
What about, it's called Brissman Only.
Okay.
An exclamation mark.
Yeah.
And how does that work?
There's a panel of one man, Marcus.
Yep.
And everyone asks us to guess what he's thinking.
Ooh.
He can only use facial expressions, so you got to be like...
But most weeks, here's a bit of a clue, most weeks he's thinking, did I just shoot myself? Yeah. And the answer is usually yes.
You got a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
He can't say anything with his mouth.
Boop, boop, boop.
Chris Mann only.
I would also like to thank, who's been waiting also since 2017, Millie Soff.
Millie Soff.
We normally say where they're from. Millie Soff's from Brisbane.
From Brizzy, Millie.
And Marcus Brissman is from Gothenburg.
Oh, Sweden.
In Sweden.
Wow. Yes.
Well done, Dave. All right, Millie Soff. Millie Soff's game show is called What's Under the Ladder?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you.
Is it? Are the people on the show only people that are very superstitious, so they're not willing to grab it out from underneath the ladder?
Yeah. Yep.
So
and it's also covered, and there's just a bunch of sound and verbal clues.
What is it?
They're very cryptic, though. So they have to figure out what's under the ladder.
I really like it.
If they figure it out, then they can come back next week.
They don't win it.
Nobody wins what's under the ladder.
The prize is you get to come back.
You get to come back. That's the real gift.
Millie Soff, thank you so much for your support, and we apologize for missing you all this time.
Millie Soff sounds like an Aldi version of Microsoft.
Yeah, okay. I got the new Millie Soft 64. 64? What fucking year do I think it is? Am I okay?
What year is it?
Is it 64?
You there, what year is it?
You've gone with Nintendo 64, right? Yes.
Not a Commodore 64.
Not a Commodore 64. Don't be fucking ridiculous.
You've embarrassed
me. Millie Soft 64. I'm retired now. Okay, Dave, do you want to thank some people?
Yes, please. I would like to thank, if I may.
Please.
If I may. All the way from Eastvale, California. Oh, I've lost the name here. This is not a great system. Rick Zhao. Oh,
Rick Zhao.
Rick Zhao.
Fantastic name.
It sounds like a game show host.
Yes, it does.
Hosted by, here's your host, Rick Zhao. And he is, of course, hosting Matt. What's his show called?
Dial on the Monkey.
Oh.
On the Monkey?
Yeah. So everyone's sitting on a monkey.
Right.
Dialing a phone.
Beat the monkey. Well. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. It's not a real monkey. It's a man in a monkey suit. A tuxedo.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
Tuxedo monkey. Now.
Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
So it's hosted. Eddie White won't be upset.
No.
The animals are happy.
The animals are fine.
Fantastic. And it's hosted by Rick Zhao.
Rick Zhao.
Fantastic.
And how does it work,
name.
Dave?
How does it work?
Yeah.
Well, you're sitting on a monkey.
Yeah.
And you have to try and guess words.
Yes.
The monkey is thinking.
And the dialing?
I said dialing a phone.
Yeah,
dialing a phone.
You got to phone a friend.
You can phone one friend.
But that's also a chimp.
And you have to try and figure out what that chimp is
isn't
thinking.
Isn't a monkey, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Which is extra confusing. There's no monkeys involved on the show at all.
Yeah, but...
it's not what it says on the box.
Yeah.
Neither were any of Betty's shows.
The Betty White show.
Just men.
Just
no,
men.
The Betty White show... The
Betty
fourth
White show
one,
showed Betty White.
The fourth one was about a woman called Janice or whatever the fucking name was. It had nothing to do with Betty White.
But it was paid by Betty White.
Sure, but it wasn't about Betty White. Anyway, Dave.
On your Rick Zhao, I would like to now thank all the way from...
You just said now funny to rhyme with Zhao.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Zhao rhymes.
I did say it pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. I'd like to thank from Leeds now... A place we've been a couple of times and I absolutely love. We love Leeds.
Love
James.
The Pie Meanster.
Leeds. I would like to thank James Underwood.
James Underwood.
Here's your host, James Underwood.
He was the host of the game Brick or Tree Trunk.
Yes. And what it was is that you get blindfolded and something is thrown at you and you have to
try and defend yourself and figure out at the same time.
You have to figure out, was that a brick? Was that a tree trunk?
Mm. And if you're wrong, they keep throwing stuff.
They keep throwing until you get it right.
You get it right.
They also had other things they throw at you. Knives, fire extinguishers, toddlers. You had to catch those or you were a bad person.
Yeah, that's why you went to jail.
Yeah, if you don't catch the toddler.
It finished with a gunfire
round. Oh, it's the toddler round.
James Underwood, we love your show.
Thank you,
toddlers
James.
Are thrown at you. You've got to guess their age in months.
Yeah.
Very tricky round.
Yeah, yeah. 27? No.
It was 26. Off to jail for you.
They all went to jail. It was a confusing time. Hey, may I also thank some people?
Yes. Oh, that'd be so good.
I would love to thank from OH. That's got to be Ohio, right?
Got to be.
Ohio? Surely.
Yes.
Ohio. I would love to thank Zach Kaiser.
Oh, Kick It With The Kaiser.
Oh, Kick It With The Kaiser. Is that the name of the show?
That is the name of the show,
Kick It With The Kaiser. And again, you just have to guess what you're kicking.
Yeah, you have to guess what you're kicking. They put something down in front of you, you have to kick it.
But Zach's there with you kicking it. You're kicking it with him.
Yeah. But your legs are tied together.
So you kick
your left leg, Zach's right leg, and you have to.
Oh, so I thought you're
three-legged kicking race.
Your legs are tied together. No, so you don't. Okay, right.
It's a three-legged kicking race.
And you kick stuff. I think the catch there is you have to guess what it is, and if you guess, you get to keep it. But they may put down something very breakable, so it might be like a Ming vase, and you don't want to kick that.
But they do often put down grenades.
Yeah.
So you do want to you want that away.
They're the two most common things, grenades and Ming vases.
You want the grenade to be far away from where you are now. You want it to go away. Do you know what I mean?
And that was another episode of Kick It With A Kaiser.
Am I remembering that lyric right? That is a Chili Peppers lyric.
I have no fucking idea.
Oh, I didn't know where you pulled that from.
No idea where you pulled it from.
Loved it though.
I loved it and it became my favourite show. And especially yelling, you want the grenade to go away.
Yeah.
I would also love to thank, thank you so much, Zach. I'd love to thank, finally, from Ambler, PA. Dave?
Oh, is that Pennsylvania?
PA, yeah. Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's right.
I would love to thank Daniel Spring.
Oh, Daniel Spring, fantastic name. And his game, of course, is called Jump the Pit of fuck faces.
Wow.
All your enemies from
We were doing so school. Well. And you came up with jump. No, I'm yes ending you. Yes, all your enemies from school.
Yes, are in a pit.
And you have to jump it
while they taunt you.
Oh, you can't do it. You'll never make it. You'll never make it.
Come here for your wedgie.
Honestly, I think this is the closest to having a chance of getting
out. Is it just someone going, I play in the NBA. I play in the NBA. Can I get some respect?
No.
I've just looked up the lyric. Is how come everybody want to keep it like the Kaiser? Mine's better.
Yours is way better.
Keeping it with the Kaiser. It's a team of goalkeepers. No, this is jump the pit of fuckfaces, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Which is great. And then if you jump it, do you win a prize? And if you don't, you have to hang out with your bullies? Is that it?
Now you're in the pit.
You have to hang out
with them in the pit.
Are they just chanting, in the pit, in the pit?
Yep.
I reckon this has legs.
I think it does too. I think the name needs work.
Clean up the potty mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably don't want fuck faces on there, but...
You just call it pit of enemies.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Did you put pit of frenemies?
Jerks.
Pit of jerks. Jerk pit.
Jerk pit.
Jerk
pit. Oh, that's no.
Jump the jerk pit.
Oh, no, that's another show.
jump the jerk pit.
It's all your enemies, but they're all wanking.
Yeah, and if you don't want to fall into that
pit. You do not want to fall in there.
They're also still mocking you. don't reckon you can jump it.
You're wanking on television.
Yeah, and we still think you're shitter than us. For us.
You fucking nerd.
You're actually making me go limp. I'm having to work this real hard. Your glasses, Horace.
Horace. Poor old Horace.
So, yeah, thank you very much to those lovely people who support us on Patreon.
And the only other thing we like to do is us patrons have been involved on the $5 tier or above for 3 years, get inducted into the Triptych Club, which is a very swanky VIP area behind a velvet robe. Jess, what are the hors d'oeuvres and cocktails on offer tonight?
I always forget you're going to ask me this until you ask. And then I go, fuck. Tonight, prawn cocktail.
Ooh, okay.
And
old classic, I like
peach cobbler.
Ooh.
Dessert.
Oh, I love a shoemaker that's been brought in for dessert. Which is what I assume that is. It's a peach that's been carved into a little like man with a hammer.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I picture a cobbler to be.
Peach cobbler.
Yes, that's right.
So we've actually got a dirty half D who've come into the club tonight. D shove a dozen.
Oh, thank goodness. I wasn't up with that. I did not know what you meant.
From Liverpool in Great Britain, it's Ben Whittingham. Please grab a cobbler. From Nottinghamshire, also in the Great Britain, Benjamin McRobbie.
Have some prawns.
Grab yourself some prawns.
Some prawns.
From Mount Lebanon in, I think, Lebanon, LB? Or is that Lower Birmingham? I think it's Lebanon. I think this is our first Lebanese
inductee.
Rani Tabri, but it can't be because we must have shouted them out in the previous
three years. Yes, I'm sure we've shouted out to Rani before.
In fact, we did in episode 109.
Oh, wow.
I've got it written down next to their name because I've really, oh my God, I've been working the spreadsheet hard.
What a great game
love
that is.
This. You must be having so much fun.
From Perth in Australia, Kamath Widjanaratne. From Georgia in the United States, Sean Harris. And from NB in Canada. NB, Dave, NB.
Come on, you've got to know Canada as well.
North Brobenhook.
Yeah, it's North Brobenhook.
Dean Brett.
Dean Brett.
First names, a man after my own heart.
Look at all those wonderful people.
Enjoy the open bar. Enjoy the open bar.
Oh, that's, I mean, the specials of the cobbler and the prawns, that's fine.
But that's not all we have.
You can choose anything from the top shelf, the second shelf, the third shelf, but do not touch the fourth shelf.
Oh, my God, no.
But the fifth shelf's fine.
Yeah, fifth shelf's fine.
Fourth shelf, that's where we keep like the cleaning products.
Yeah, don't want to drink those. We probably should put those elsewhere, I reckon. Yeah. It's getting a bit confusing, isn't it?
We have to warn people because there was that time when Gary J from the UK had a big shot of Jif.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he was bouncing for hours.
He was.
It's New Brunswick, Canada.
New Brunswick.
Oh, we're in Old Brunswick. I assume it was named after this.
I can only assume, yes.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. What a fantastic time we've had.
Oh, we've had a great time.
Amazing. That wasn't convincing. I meant it. That was a lot of fun.
At least say exclamation mark.
Amazing exclamation mark.
Thank you.
We should also add, if you want to join in on the Patreon, which a lot of people have been doing lately, you can get our bonus episodes. We put out two every single month, and we're very close on our target to putting out a third episode. Right now, we're at 98 or 99% of the goal, for real. If we achieve this goal, we will start a new series, and every month we're over that goal, we'll do an episode of Phrasing the Bar, the only podcast in the world dedicated to the films of Brendan Fraser.
And what basically how it'll work is the three of us will watch a Brendan Fraser film starting from his first offering. We think he's done about 50.
So
if this works and we do it monthly, it'll take Dave, how many is that years?
Over 4 years.
And we're in it for the long haul.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
And yeah, I'm pretty stoked if that happens.
Yeah, it'll be sick.
I love an excuse. I've seen a few of his films on Netflix as I've been browsing. I'm like, gotta save it in case.
Totally. I watched one recently and I was like, what am I doing? But
don't
I'll rewatch it. It'll be great. Oh.
Don't burn the bar.
You gotta.
Which is another game show I'm thinking about.
Burn the bar. And you have to commit arson.
Yes.
We should also mention, too, that this Saturday kicks off our run of live stream shows.
Absolutely. Saturday Melbourne time, which is 12 o'clock Saturday, East Coast in Australia.
And you know when I was figuring out the times for around the world? That was before I realised that our daylight savings was ending and a lot of other countries were starting. So that's two different time shifts.
Oh, great.
I have no idea what time it is in other countries.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, but it's pretty easy. If you type in time and date conversion on Google, there's lots of websites where you chuck in Melbourne time, you try 12 p.m. Saturday, it will tell you what time it is.
That is the most patronising thing that I've ever heard.
No, I love that. I love putting the responsibility on them. You figure it out. You're an adult.
I love that. It's
fucking great.
I've already done that.
You got Google? Figure it out. You'll be right.
Yes, that is true.
Plus, the streams will be available for a short time after.
For 24 hours. So some people, I think, in the Eastern Bloc, they might be getting it in the early a.m.
Yep.
Am I saying that right? Is there a place called the Eastern Bloc?
Not anymore.
There could be people in Australia who have other stuff on and want to watch it later.
Oh, that's true.
Who knows?
What do people have on at the moment?
Absolutely nothing. You shouldn't be doing anything, and that was a trap.
Mm.
I mean, I'll be busy.
Did you see the
over here?
Last thing I want to say, but this has made me laugh more than anything else recently. The Western Australian Premier was asked in a press conference. You would have
Mark
seen
McGowan.
This at work. He was asked, someone in New South Wales was fined for going out for a jog and then stopping to buy a kebab. And the journalist asked him, and he just couldn't get through the response. Yeah. He was laughing so much. He's like, geez, they do it differently in New South Wales, which I love the jab. The state versus state jabs. That's a great opportunity to take.
Yeah, you could go for a jog and get a kebab. The Auslan interpreter next to him was pissing herself laughing as she was interpreting.
I've watched it so many times. I love it so much.
So good.
Anyway, and he just can't get through the sentence. It's not about going for a jog and buying a kebab. He just can't get the words out. But anyway, Dave, what did I interrupt?
We were talking about the live streams.
The live streams, they are, yeah, this Saturday is the first one, but there will be four of them. And yep. You can buy a season pass where you pay for three, get to attend all four.
Yeah.
In your pyjamas. You can watch us in your pyjamas. We won't judge.
We won't be wearing your pyjamas. Sorry, that just to clarify that.
Well, if you send
them in. You cannot watch us in your pyjamas. I'm not going to be wearing your pyjamas.
If you express post them now, I will do it.
I will wear your pyjamas.
Mm. I'll wear my pyjamas. Can we do one in pyjamas? That'd be cute.
Yeah, of course.
Let's have a different outfit theme every time.
I suggested we wear monkey suits the first week.
I believe we should.
Love that.
But, yes, and we're going to do, like, some exclusive stuff for the live stream that will only be out and then will be burnt forever. Yep. Like, we're going to do some questions and answers.
Magic.
The magic. I'm going to pull out my floating balls.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And, yeah, we can't do any live shows for the foreseeable future. So if you want to get involved, come and bloody have some fun. It'll be great. Well, did I sell it? Was that good?
Yeah.
That was great. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But that does bring us to the end of the episode. You can get in contact with us anytime at dogoonpod.com, and that has links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are all also at dogoonpod.
Mm-hmm. Can
you believe
very
that?
Very convenient.
And, yeah, just if you're... stupid old channel on YouTube's where it is, but you get a link when you buy a ticket, right?
Yep.
Yes.
It's all pretty straightforward.
We've posted the link on our socials. It'll be in the episode description of this episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sospresents.com is where you get tickets.
So just do it, all right?
All right.
Make me tell you twice.
Well, just do it. We've already told him a few times.
Okay, one more. Just do it.
Okay.
That's enough.
Now I'm convinced. Well, thank you so much for listening. And until next week, I'll say goodbye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.